In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning and welcome to Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And I'm Pastor Joe Helm, one of the pastoral staff at Brookside, and just delighted to have you here this morning with us. I am going to be on the program here for today and two more sessions with us. And actually, the topic that we're going to discuss really is kind of difficult to give in segments, but we're going to make every effort to make that understandable and flow smoothly for you, the listeners. And so we encourage you to make sure you listen in the rest of the week here, because it'll all make sense as you consider all three segments that we're going to cover. And we're going to talk this morning about something that perhaps you have not thought about in a while. It's something that a lot of people would rather not think about, and that is the judgment of God. You know, the scripture says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, in Hebrews 9:27. And if we were to go throughout the scripture, we would find that there are two primary judgments that the scripture teaches about with regard to coming before God in what is generally referred to as judgment. That is a time of accountability. And one of those judgments is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The other is called the Judgment Seat of Christ. And so, first of all, today we're going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. We find this discussed in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11 says, as John was writing as his vision in the apocalypse took place, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And so, boy, this would and ought to raise a question in our minds as to what is the book of life? If all those whose names are not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, then it ought to be pretty important to us to make sure that we know what is this book of life. Now, if we do an overall Bible study of this concept of the book of life, we've got to go all the way back into the Old Testament to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. In verse 32, Moses here is speaking to the Lord. He is speaking to the Lord on behalf of the children of Israel after one of their major episodes of sin. And Moses says to God, "Yet now, if you will, Lord, forgive their sin, forgive the children of Israel's sin. And if not, blot me out from your book, which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." And so this is the first mention of this book that God has written with those names that are written in it that would be forgiven, but those that are blotted out would not. Psalm 69, verse 28, David goes on to say, "Let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous." And so, of course, the implication there is that those that are written in the book of life are the righteous. Daniel goes on to speak of the book as well. He says, "And at that time, thy people shall be delivered," speaking of the children of Israel, "every one that shall be found written in the book of life." And so here again, a reference by Daniel to those that are written in the book of life being delivered. Luke 10, verse 20, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Philippians 4, verse 3, Paul said, "I entreat thee," and he was speaking to the church at Philippi here, "help those women who labored with me in the gospel and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." And then Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father." And so, a logical question here would be, whose names are in this book of life? Well, remember Psalm 69:28 said, let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. And so again, the implication there is that the names in the book of life are the names of those considered righteous. Now, there's some bad news here for us, because the scripture also tells us in Romans 3:10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:12 says, they are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, said Ezekiel 18:20. Every man shall die for his own sin, 2 Chronicles 25:4. And so, as we think about this, what's the question now? Well, the question now is, what must I do to be saved? Because there's none righteous, no, not one, and it's only the righteous that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what must I do to be saved? And Paul answers that question right there in Acts 16:31. Believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, trusteth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that trusts on me has everlasting life. Well, why do we need to believe? Why do we need to trust in Jesus Christ? Well, Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds of the law, that is, good works of mine, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. No one's going to be justified in God's sight. No one's going to be forgiven by their own good works. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh forgiven. Nobody's going to be justified by their works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what is the gift of God? Exactly what we need. The gift of God is righteousness. Remember, only those who are righteous, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't have righteousness, though. How do we get it? We get it by our faith in Jesus Christ. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 1 John 3:5 says, you know that Jesus was manifest to take away our sins. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So what we needed and what we get in Jesus Christ is a substitute. We get an atonement, a payment for our sin. The Bible calls it a propitiation. That is a payment that satisfies the righteous wrath of God. John said when he saw Jesus coming, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, what's the Lamb of God? We go all the way back again to the book of Exodus chapter 12 and we read about that Lamb. As the children of Israel prepared to leave Egypt, God told them all, every man, to take a lamb. And he said to them, your lamb shall be without blemish. It needs to be a perfect, unblemished lamb. And then the congregation was to kill it, Exodus 12:6. And they were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of their home and the upper doorpost of their home. And the Lord told them, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you. And so why the blood? Because God had told them that the life of the flesh was in the blood, and he has given it to make an atonement for their soul. For it is the blood that makes atonement. It is the blood that makes payment for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, Hebrews 9:22. Jesus said, this is my blood, when he instituted the Lord's Supper. This is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so the righteousness that I need but cannot work for is given to me as a gift from God when I trust in the atoning blood sacrifice of his Son. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25 says, whom God, referring to Jesus, has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Romans 4:5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, her faith is counted for righteousness. For with the heart man believes, trusts unto righteousness." Romans 10:10. Philippians 3:9, Paul said, "That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, derived from good works, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ." The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So, Acts 16:31 answers the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer, believe, place your trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. In other words, your sins will be forgiven. Righteousness will be credited to you, to your account. In the eyes of a holy, righteous God, you will be seen in the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. Your name is written in heaven. Your name is in the book of life. Hallelujah for the cross. I love the verse of the old songwriter that said, "And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, Savior, God to thee, how great thou art." Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah that we can stand in the righteous robes of Jesus Christ at the judgment of God. Now, actually, the scripture tells us that at the great white throne, believers, those that have come to Christ by faith in his blood, in his atoning work on the cross, have been redeemed, have been regenerated, been born again by faith in Jesus Christ. We won't even be at that judgment. We will not even be at the great white throne, because the great white throne is for those whose names are not written in the book of life. And so, friends, as you contemplate your relationship with God, the most critical factor of your entire existence on this earth is that you have come to know the truth, that you have come to understand that in your birth, you were born in sin. In your birth, you were born a sinner, separated from God, dead in your trespasses and sin. Nothing you can do in the flesh to change that. No amount of good works, no amount of giving money to charity, no amount of religiosity or church membership or baptism or any other outward work. The only thing that you can do is recognize that you're lost, you're condemned under the wrath of God, that you're going to die and go to hell in payment of your own sin, unless you take God's substitute, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe that he was the sinless Lamb of God who suffered and died on that cross, who shed his blood for the remission of your sin, and that you, in repentance and faith, that is trust, the Greek word behind the English word believe is the word for faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And so until next time, God bless you. Have a great week.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.